to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. They come down the stretch. It's the dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act, and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party, and bringing up the rear, that's right, the New Zealand First Dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese shop. Hey, what a bitch.
On political commentary.
With Dr. Bryce Edwards. Hi, Dr. Bryce Edwards.
Mikey, good to hear from you.
Very nice to speak to you on the radio. Let's get cracking straight, but let's get through the pleasantries. Hi, and straight into the politics. Should we go? We'll go overseas first with the big story of the global politics story of the day, which would be dirty old Trump. You're fired.
Yes, indeed. This is just remarkable stuff. I mean, to fire the most senior law enforcement officer in the country. Because it seems that he's on to Trump. He's investigating those supposed links between Trump and the run-up to the US election.
And he's not just on to Trump. He's not just on to Trump. Everybody knows he's almost on to Trump.
Exactly. So it's so blatant, isn't it? I mean, American politics is just fantastic at the moment. For people like us, anyhow, that love politics, it's just so crazy.
Is this just someone wielding his power? I mean, it's what's really bizarre is that his press secretary came out today and said, look, the president doesn't think that he's been doing a good job at all, not even since the beginning, not since he got into office. And it's like, well, hang on, what about everyone else that's working for him at the moment? You know, is he harbouring some sort of hatred for them as well?
Exactly.
Let alone all the dodginess, you know.
It's all dodgy, isn't it? And you just got to think what the impact this is going to have on how everyone views politicians and politics, that you just get rid of someone once they are starting to, you know, do the right thing and investigate, the misuse of power. So this is just such a circus at the moment with Trump. And it's going to bring politicians more into disrepute, I think. So... it's just crazy stuff.
Can you think of a historical precedent, or the nearest thing?
Because even Nixon, you know, who had his downfall as president of the US, he never fired his FBI director or anything close to that. So,
in the old days, you'd just disappear people, wouldn't you?
Maybe that's right.
So, what are the weapons inspector just went out for a walk and.
Yes, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, perhaps it's good that we are much more aware of when there are these disputes between the ruling class, essentially. You know, this is the US establishment fighting against each other. And it's all out in the open and never used to be. It used to just be,
That's how it all works now, isn't it? You can't do anything secret. There was a lot of people that I know who I was... like flabbergasted to find out that they were delighted that Trump had got in when he won the election, and because they said things are going to change, this is a sea change in the whole political landscape over there and the whole way things are done. But sort of it stinks of traditional old American politics, doesn't it?
That's right. I mean, he was going to drain the swamp. He was going to change everything, and he hasn't done that, obviously, but. He is making some waves, and he is shaking things up. And I think your friends might be right to some extent in that it's creating interest in politics. So, you know, the students that I teach, the young people I talk to, are much more interested in politics now than they ever used to be.
I guess so, yeah.
This is interesting times that we live in.
The circus part of it's fun, but, I mean, is there a lot of actual... How would you feel being an American... that's what's happening at the up in the engine room.
I know, but the engine room's always been dodgy. It's always been dodgy. It's just now everyone can see how dodgy it is because it's gone to such extremes. So if it means that people are a bit more critical of what politicians do and of our government, I mean, that's still a good thing, I think.
True, true. All right, well, let's bring it on home. It's been interesting sort of overnight politically in New Zealand as well. There's been a lot going on. It seems that the national government, once again, are promising that things will be sweet in a wee while. And I'm not sure how they're going to pay for it when it comes to DOC. But what about you wanted to talk about the money in politics sort of situation. Money in politics, that's a broad term, is it? But we found out we've got a better idea of how wealthy our MPs are.
Exactly, because every year we have this pecuniary interests register that is published by Parliament. And in it, all the MPs have to declare their kind of major assets and any gifts that they've received over the last year. And that was pretty interesting reading. In terms of the gifts, you know, people are quite focused on this stuff because, you know, we always think, well, maybe politicians are being bribed, you know, who's giving them money? And there wasn't any huge sort of gifts being given, but I see on TVNZ last night, Andrew Vance was making a lot of the fact that Stephen Joyce had been given a helicopter ride that was worth $2,000 by a mining company.
Greedy pig.
They showed him some mining sites in the West Coast. And, yeah, it does raise questions about whether that would influence, you know, his decisions.
I guess he has to see them at some stage.
I guess so, but maybe, you know, it's the role of the government departments to do that for politicians rather than private interests. And there were a few other minor ones. There were all sorts of handbags being given. That was one of the stranger ones. Amy Adams received a handbag from the, from the Maggie Barry Dinner Club.
What's the Maggie Barry Dinner Club?
Yes, no one knows what that is. Journalists have been asking, you know, what's the Maggie Barry Dinner Club and why is it giving away handbags?
And what's she done in the Maggie Barry Dinner Club to make her the winner of the handbag?
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's not, it's not a prize. It's a gift.
It's a gift.
Maybe if you're the first person to join the Maggie Barry Dinner Club, you get a free handbag. What? How weird!
And yes, but, I mean, these are handbags. I mean, to declare these things, I think they have to be over $500.
So it's not. She's not leaving it on the bus, is she? Is she? Who are the richest? Should we feel? I've always thought that as much as I dislike John Key, quite publicly, I've never really had a problem with the fact that he made his own money. Not so much, more that the fact that he's wealthier, that never really annoyed me. A lot of other things annoyed me about him, but not that.
Exactly, and that's really interesting about John Key, that, he's worth about $55 million, but because he kind of had a bit of a guy-next-door sort of persona, he didn't really come across as that wealthy. We sort of accepted it. But no, he's left Parliament now, and there's not.
Is it the sort of thing that we should get? We should berate our politicians about? Should they all be good, earthy, blue-collar folk, do you think?
I think it'd be good if we have a few more earthy blue collar folk in there. At the moment, they seem to be very narrow, and they're all kind of moderately wealthy. So what we found out in this declaration this week is lots of them own property. So the average National Party MP owns about 3.5 houses. Other parties as well.
Hold on, can you just give all of us here in Auckland just a moment, because I don't care. You know what I'm getting really sick of? I'm really getting sick of everyone apologising. I'm so sorry, but in Auckland we have blah, blah. It's actually a real, real bad problem. It is a bad, bad, bad problem. And it's an issue that needs to be dealt with promptly and properly. And now everyone's sort of talking, stop hassling. You guys always talk about traffic. Oh, you guys always talk about it's so hard to buy a house. But it's bad, bad, bad. The figures that came out yesterday? There was 80% of young Aucklanders now won't be able to buy a house or can't feasibly buy a house. 80%.
And why this is important, why this issue is important in terms of what the MPs own, is that suspicion, which I think is a very well-placed suspicion, is that the MPs are doing pretty well out of the housing crisis and they're pretty complacent. I mean, if you're owning all these properties, you're doing well out of it, do you really feel this kind of urgent need to solve the problem? And, I think it's quite clear that they don't.
Poo. Stinks.
Yeah. So, and lots of them are buying up lots of, you know, investment properties.
And is this
Nathan Kai owns, I think, something like 21 properties. And
Really? This is across the party, isn't it? It's across the party. It's not just the government. Yeah.
All of them do own. Well, not all of them. There's about 10 MPs that don't own property, but the other 110 MPs do, and they often own multiple properties. So, does that influence their decision making? Does that influence how well they or how seriously they take the housing crisis? I think it does. So it's good that we have a bit more information about which ones do own all the property. I don't know what you do about it, but they're making a killing out of it, and we're obviously not, the rest of us.
Hey, Dr. Bryce Edwards, thank you so much. There's a text that's just come in saying, have you ever heard James Comey in congressional hearings? That, and I won't use the word they use there, needed the boot. Don't take the mainstream media lies. Fair enough, if that's what you think. But I guess what I find the most unusual is the method of his dismissal.
Yes. Oh, he read about it on the TV screen. This is not how politics normally operates, but yeah, maybe that's a good thing. That things are being done differently. I don't know.
I don't think there are any heroes in the government in America at the moment. My texting friend, whoever you are. Hey, thank you very much, Bryce. We will speak to you again next week.
Okay, good stuff, Mike.
Woohoo! Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.